Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Vinny Tortorich is going to lay some knowledge on us in the first half. We'll do good for the Stang, good for the Wang, the Kentucky Derby edition. I have some love boat observations that have to do with Adam Sandler. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and you work hard. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can get your bundle going when you take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and you bundle it along with your automotive insurance at Geico. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save and just how easy Geico can make it to bundle at geico.com.
Anyone can join a cult. If you've ever dived headfirst into a new self-help program,
or believed wholeheartedly in a spiritual practice,
or even just trusted someone with your life, guess what?
You're just as vulnerable as everyone else.
No one is safe, especially not Megan.
I am the most susceptible.
We want to dispel the myth that people who join cults are dumb or naive or broken.
Anyone can be manipulated by a narcissist, and we should know. We both have been.
I'm Lola Blanc.
And I'm Megan Elizabeth.
And we're real-life cult survivors.
Join us every week as we talk to other survivors,
believers, experts, and more about their experiences
and our experiences with cults, extreme belief, and the abuse of power. You might be next.
Trust me. Available every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brad Williams and Vinny Tortorich. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now he's done rants longer than Biden's speech to Congress on just veggie pizza. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Your mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Is this a joke?
I had a thought. Could be profound.
No, we'll be the judge of that.
You'll be the judge of that. I was talking to Dr. Drew earlier today about trends. And we're always kind of talking about the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And, you know, if you think about visually the difference between the 50s and the 70s, it's quite profound.
Mm-hmm.
The hair, the clothes.
Sure.
I mean,
music.
It couldn't get any more profound than, you know, pomade and the slick back hair and the guys wearing the ties and bow ties and things of that nature, the way women dressed. And then you get to the 70s, you get to the whole disco thing. And I was thinking, we're kind of talking about the difference even between the 70s and the 80s, how that style, hair, just think about women's hair.
Mm-hmm.
The 70s, they had a trend for a while, the Dorothy Hamill.
Oh, like the female bowl cut.
Short little pixie kind of cut, very in vogue in the middle 70s.
Right.
And then at some point it went to the Farrah Fawcett and, you know, all that. And then I started thinking, so we've always had these trends, and they've been musical, and they've been architect, style, all that kind of stuff. And then everyone would always wince if they saw pictures of themselves from the 80s. Not me, because I have the exact same haircut I've always had. But
I look back longingly at the hair that I had.
Wistfully.
To be fair, my hair doesn't change that much, so it's kind of hard. But then I said, well, what's going on now? And I realized that everyone's been wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's changed between 2010 and 2020 in terms of, like, hairstyles. Little things pop up, like guys wearing more guys with beards, maybe.
Well, definitely more guys with beards. We talked about this a couple of years ago when I pointed out at the time, and now it looks even more of that era. Remember the fucking... The Seacrest hair that went all different directions.
Oh, yeah.
The guys had their hair. It was cool to be mussed up, but like calculatedly mussed up.
Beavery.
Yeah, and of course the frosted tips. That was kind of came and went. But for a long time, dudes were wearing... Find a picture of Elliot Harrison from the NFL Network. Fucking dude had his hair going all different directions, and it was so carefully manicured.
Well, like there's definitely things that popped up and cropped up, but not universally accepted 100%. Like, guys used to wear derbies and caps and, you know, hats. And you look at the guys at a ball game in the 30s or the 40s, everyone's wearing a tie and stuff. And now it changed. But I was kind of thinking, as I was talking to Drew, I don't think there's been so much of a physical change. We're going to be able to mark this time by your pronouns.
Oh, yeah.
By when you started saying Latinx.
Sure.
You know, that when we start talking about transgender rights, like, those will be the markers. They're not going to show up in pictures.
Right.
You know, it's just you're not, you know, everyone looks younger in pictures from 10 years ago. But I don't think anyone, you know, I was talking to Matt Fondelier. He's been here for over a decade. He's got the same hair, dresses the same. Everyone here's the same.
Same.
So I think the changes... Well, it used to be much more external and a little less philosophical. Now we're all kind of philosophical and much less external. They're not going to show up in those pictures you'd see between people in the 60s and then the pictures of the people in the 70s. Like, that was profound, you know.
Right.
It was very different. Now it's just going to be maybe in guys you'll see a few more bracelets, but it's going to be more of which way the wind was blowing politically, emotionally,
I think you're right,
sociologically.
The only thing we're going to have is the man bun.
Yeah, but I would still argue the man bun was not universal, and those who rocked it were almost immediately labeled douchebags.
You're right.
Although I had a guy with the man bun outfit my... Hyundai with a camera yesterday.
How'd you allow that?
It was difficult. I labeled him a hipster. That was my... If you were called a hipster, that is nice for douche. I think that's euphemistic for douche. They don't know it. All right. So I was kind of thinking about marking everything physically. It's going to be weird when we look at pictures. You're not going to see that big... All those pictures of your parents from the 50s or the 60s or whatever, and then the big changes in the 70s, you know, like, guys, all of a sudden grandpa had the pork chop sideburns and the big mop of hair and everything.
Who had the hair going all the different directions calculated? Ty Pennington.
Oh, that was his thing.
Yeah, that's his thing.
But, like, it wasn't just all out. I'm sure it was at some point. You know what I mean? That's the hairstyle I'm talking about.
Move that brush.
Oh, yeah. Look up this way.
maybe the choker. Factors in as well. Then I was starting to think about clothing, not from a stylistic standpoint, but I thought there's never been a bigger chasm for almost anyone, women especially. But in terms of when you think about purchasing something, you think, I would like to use this thing that I purchased. Otherwise, it seems like kind of a waste of money.
Sure.
We've all bought shit that we end up never using, and it ends up being it's just taking up space, but you can't throw it away because it costs too much or whatever it is. But I thought, never's that more acute than clothing. And I've studied this with others. There is clothing. You know, if you take a look at Fondelier, you'll see the same three T-shirts cycle through
Jurassic Park, for
a decade.
Jurassic Park 2.
There's ball caps. Right. Max Pat is the same way. I'm definitely that way. And then there's shit I've never touched. It's been in the closet for a million years. There's shoes I've never worn. There's this every single day I've worn this shoe, and then there's shoes I've never donned. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way with a handful of shirts and sweaters and things like that. And it is weird. It is one of the few things that doesn't take place in your refrigerator.
No.
If you're not eating it, if it's not, you're not using it, you don't buy another one of it, and it's just, that's off the list. And it's not so much that way with workout equipment or things you might be in contact on a daily basis, but clothing, no matter what your tax bracket is, every woman has a set of boots in there that have never been worn, and then there's the sweatpants, a sweat jacket, or the tennis shoes that are worn on a daily basis. And
can I give you the ultimate example in my life? I have a still in the box, brand new, never worn, not brand new anymore, 8 years old, pair of Gucci leather boots.
Mm-hmm.
And what am I going to do? Because I never wear heels. I'm not just going to give them away. I don't know what to do with these damn things. I have lugged them to four different living abodes. I think they're like a half size too small.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
They're, well, it's that kind of thing of everybody has a closet filled with junk they've never put mm-hmm. on. Most of them, you'd have to wrestle it away from them because they yes. wouldn't want to give it away. But you'll still never wear it for another 31 years, and then you'll die, and then we'll give it away.
Correct.
I think I mentioned this years ago, but I made a conscious choice to change my life off this course that you're talking about. The thing that did it for me was I had a girlfriend years ago who gave me a beautiful set of white towels. Like, oh, how nice. Nice white towels. In your 20s, that's not something you have generally. And I kept them, of course, on the shelf thinking like, someday I have a place to use these. Someday.
Those are show towels.
I moved several times and finally moved in with Christy. I'm like, great news. Now we have a nice apartment or nicer up than I had, and we can hang these white towels, open up the box. They'd been pooped on and chewed up by rats. And I was like, never again will I allow this to happen. And Adam, just the other day, you complimented me on my shoes. Mm-hmm. And remember what I said to you? I said, my mom got me these 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They sat in my closet for a year. And I was like, damn it, I got to start wearing these.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're my everydays.
And tires. That's my thing. I look down.
Yeah.
I find a lot of wallets. You know,
by avoiding eye contact,
that's right.
Like a lot of shoes and tires,
and able to compliment you on your shoes and tires. So then I was talking about Love Boat with Dr. Drew,
as
we're apt to do. And there's this character that was on the last episode I saw, and his name, he was a character actor. His name is Jack Gilford, and we could probably find a picture of him. He was in Cocoon.
Okay,
he was in many, many things. He died in 1990.
Was he one of the main, like, Don Ameche, Wilford Brimley's?
He was
of
those guys.
And he was in, do you remember Batteries Not Included?
Yeah.
Yes.
All that kind of, when they, those guys were born looking 60, 70 years old.
Yeah. Yes.
That's his high school yearbook photo.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I was just, and I was watching him on Love Boat, and I was just kind of looking at him, and he's a famous character actor. You just would recognize his face, and he's been everywhere. And I was just listening to him, and then I started thinking, this feels like it inspired Adam Sandler. Now, I know this sounds weird.
I can't wait to see
and
this.
And I also thought Bobby Boucher. I was like, this guy, I feel like Sandler was watching him in Cocoon or Batteries Not Included or something. But anyway, just picture Adam Sandler as we play this clip. You can it'll work from an audio standpoint. He's a safe cracker who's gone straight in this episode of Love Boat. We'll have to do it with sound, probably.
She's familiar too. She was in Freaky Friday.
It's Kay Ballard, I think, or yeah, not Eve Arden and Kay Ballard, but
she was
right.
The field hockey coach.
We'll try it again.
Yeah.
Why didn't you meet us on deck?
I was waiting for them to come and unlock the door.
Stupid I am. I can't seem to realize I'm not locked in anymore.
A lot of laughs.
I asked you to be quiet about that, didn't I?
But now I can open the door and go out anytime I want, can't I?
Sure you can.
I've got great news. Will you listen a minute?
Now, let me turn up the volume. The prison metal shop is awful noisy. My ears are kind of shot. Testing. Say something, Harry.
Does that mean you can't open safes anymore? Does it?
Oh, I'm sure I can still open them. This hearing aid is great. But about safes, Harry.
What about them?
You don't have to worry about me. I'll never break the law again.
What are you talking about?
After all, you two went straight. I guess I can, too. Believe me, boss. You can trust me. I won't let you down. I'll never touch another safe. I promise.
Anyway.
That's very want to touch the hiney
mm-hmm.
of Adam Sandler.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I don't know. I'm not saying he ripped the guy off. I'm just saying
inspired.
You're influenced
yeah.
by things when you watch him. And that felt very, very Sandler character-esque. Likeable guy. It's going to be missed. It's been dead for 31 years. The other thing I stumbled onto when I was going down this road is I think Drew was saying something about homeless people and like, what are we going to do when the Olympics come to town? I go, we go full Soylent Green.
Oh, no.
And
got to feed those athletes a lot of protein.
Soylent Green took place in, I think, Los Angeles, maybe New York,
ooh,
big city.
Probably a year that we've already passed.
I was about to say, I've always wanted to either do this or have someone do it, which is all the movies that were set in the future, mm-hmm. like Soylent Green or some dystopian future, chart them where yes. they are and like where they were on our timeline yes. of reality.
Yeah, it took place in New York, 2022.
So that was year.
We're right there.
Soylent Red and Soylent
it's
Yellow.
It's Soylent Green. All right. Then the other thing I was thinking about is we were talking about the Oscars, and there was a clip that I forgot from the Oscars. It's something I've complained about before. It's Marley Matlin and her fucking translator, the dude.
Voice of an angel.
And when they it's more glaring when she's in a gown,
right.
I guess. But I'll play that clip, and I just wish you could get a female voice in there.
Please welcome Academy Award winner Marley Matlin.
Watching this year's short documentary films, I'm reminded by how much impact good storytelling can have at any length. Colette introduces us to a 90-year-old French resistance fighter.
This is Marley
who's
speaking.
Then 17-year-old brother. Also in the resistance,
you had access
was sent
to
a German concentration camp.
Male interpreter?
I did.
What'd she say?
She gave me a hand sign that I could recognize, even though I don't speak American
ASL.
ASL, right?
Who made it possible?
Yeah,
but also she does
to dream
speak.
The biggest of dreams.
So,
yeah, she kind of does.
So she does.
I guess she does.
She's done whole Seinfeld episodes
in Yemen. The result is as dizzying and as disorienting as war itself. Embedded inside
all right,
the haunt.
We got it.
Is
I'm
that
just
like,
saying.
Is that her guy? Is she?
Yes, it's her guy,
okay.
Which I get, but I still, I don't know, for the award show season, get a chick in there.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset that they cut away from her signing as well.
Oh, we can't hear. Yeah, we're just hearing a dude's voice.
Yeah.
It's welcome, Marley Matlin. Right. And then we just hear right. this dude narrate over 5 minutes of B-roll.
People are upset.
B-roll.
Would that be upset with every single award they gave out that night?
I am outraged.
New York Post said that fans are incensed.
Oh, please.
Incensed. But then I thought, why not just go all the way? Why not just have Dawson? Why not just have Dawson do it? So I said, get a transcript and let's see what it would sound like
if
Dawson.
Everyone go into your mind's eye.
You should do Marley Children of a Lesser God.
Yes. Picture Marley Matlin in a ball gown and go.
Watching this year's short documentary films, I'm reminded by how much impact good storytelling could have at any length. Colette introduces us to a 90-year-old French resistance fighter who's then 17-year-old brother, also in the resistance.
You're making me horny.
Was sent to a German concentration camp by the Nazis. A concerto is a conversation, is a gorgeous tribute to a grandfather who made it possible for his family to dream the biggest of dreams. Hunger Award.
All right. I think we get the joke.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I'd like the lady voice in there. Feel like it's less confusing. A lot of fans at that point could be a bottle and a half of Chardonnay into that,
easily.
Just tuned in,
yes.
And now it's Marley Matlin, and we hear this dude.
Very confused. Scared.
Yeah, scared
that was
and confused.
A good example of Slippery Slope Guy.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? Dawson does it?
That's right. That's a good,
Sam Elliott.
Good point. Yeah, very problematic. All right, so what? Bong Joon-ho, my favorite director.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a female. That's right.
Also a female interpreter.
Oh, there you go. It's
fair.
Yeah, I remember that. Upsetting.
Who would this? All right. Now, here's what I say.
Can we trade?
What if you had the lady director with the dude voice? Would that fly? I feel like that wouldn't go over as well.
It might be a little different because Bong Joon, actually, you hear his voice. And
mm-hmm.
then the girl talks.
She translates.
Yeah.
Oh, she's translating. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, we got a Bill Maher clip over here. We got the Kentucky Derby coming up.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me. We got good for the Stang, good for the Wang, or good for the Wang, good for the Stang, whatever I coined all those years ago. I glanced over them. Some are pretty good dong names.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. One of the favorites has a great dong name.
So, Dawson, doing a feminine voice this time.
Number one,
oh.
Known Agenda.
Known agenda. Yeah, that's pretty spot on for the Wang.
Feels like a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Like the King.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Strong.
That's good.
Keep Me in Mind.
Will do.
Sainthood. Oh, Bezos.
Kisses, that means.
Mm-hmm.
Mandalone.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
All right.
Medina Spirit. Hot Rod Charlie.
There we go.
We're getting somewhere.
Midnight Bourbon.
Yeah.
Dynamic One.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as more of a white Russian, but all right.
Helium. Hidden Stash.
Jeez me.
Essential Quality. Rock Your World.
Mm-hmm. That's good Wang talk.
King Fury.
And we have a winner.
That's the leader in the clubhouse.
Highly Motivated.
Mm.
Superstock. Soup and Sandwich.
Jewish Horse.
Bourbonic.
And there you are. What is that? How many are in that field?
20.
20. It's always 20 every year? I don't know.
It's a great question.
Qualifying.
I'm sure there's 18, scratches.
Whatever.
You know what? I got to put my money on one right now. You know how, like, only they say only really, like, hetero men super secure can, like, rock pink and, like, look great? Mm-hmm. Only a champion horse can be called Soup and Sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, pull it off. It's got to be Soup and Sandwich.
It's like the common of rappers.
Right.
What's Soup and Sandwich going off on?
31.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no. Yeah, that's... Oh, my...
So we got it here on our
paper. Oh, sorry. I don't have my piece of paper here. All right. Moving on. Mike August. Oh, Mike August. You know, Mike... Do you guys have this thing? We've all discussed this thing where we all... From your childhood. When you're a kid and your dad would go... I need to talk to you after school. Your day was ruined,
oof.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
get worse.
The boss, after class.
Boss call in to shut the door. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, no. These are all like these moments. And
come by after your shift.
Yeah, and people, people
we'll
should
talk about it now. No, it's going to take a while.
No.
People should be aware of how they impact others. Like,
agreed.
I am a very quiet walker.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
I walk. Yeah, you can hear the townspeople chasing Brian with the torches.
Cursed.
I just walk on the balls of my feet. I wear sneakers. I'm a quiet walker. And if I ever walk into the kitchen, Olga, who's a Hispanic lady, always does the "I," you know, like I scare her all the right. time. So if I'm coming down the hall, I'll start making some noise,
mm-hmm. rattle something,
because I do not like that part where I've worked her patterns
right.
out. I walk quietly; she scares easily. That's a recipe for her, you know, dropping the mixing bowl.
Right.
So, Mike August will always do this thing. So we did the. Thing over at the Ace Hotel and Theater, and then I got back. I was driving home, and Mike called, and he goes, "You're never gonna believe what just happened." And I was like, "Oh shit! Someone didn't hit the recording
right.
on the thing, or the sponsor's pissed, or somebody says we can't use." You know, he just goes.
He said Hyundai.
Yeah, he said, you're never going to believe what just happened. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, shit, what happened? I'm getting ready to turn around and head back to the theater or whatever. And he goes, we couldn't get it onto the rooftop bar.
Oh, that's right. Gina and August left for a nightcap.
That's right.
That's so funny. Literally, first of all, the man thinks that he doesn't need a mask. That's for everybody
that's
else.
Right.
Walks in and out of lobbies with impunity. And he just said he and I were going to go up to the roof. I was super excited to see the roof. And we didn't have the juice. They wouldn't let us up there.
Yeah, he said it was open. It was outdoor.
Reservation.
But you have to have a reservation so they can keep an eye on how many people are tabulate.
Knows?
Did it seem crowded?
Nobody was there. I didn't even know. The hotel was open.
Oh, so I mean, but could you see into the area?
No, it was just an empty lobby of a hotel. There was nothing. We were outside. You had to go outside and back in, and there was nobody there.
On the rooftop bar.
They wouldn't let us get to
the they're not letting you go
if you push R, nothing happens.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, Mike was very disturbed.
That's how he couched it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're not going to believe what just happened. Like, oh, shit.
That marries up nicely with the first part of the story, because he was hyped to get to that rooftop. Yeah. He was like, hey, you guys want to go to the rooftop?
We're going to the
show's over. Let's go to the roof.
Yeah.
The soup and a sandwich is owned by the granddaughter of Campbell's Soup founder.
Ooh, I like that.
So, context for you all. All right, let's see. Let me hit JB Weld here. DIYers and pros have trusted JB Weld for 50 years plus for projects big and small, home or garage. Use the world's strongest bond. We're proud. We have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner, hung out with these guys when I was at SEMA, maybe the last time they had it open. JB Welders, they're good people. DIY projects, you can use it for auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Now's the time to get in, you know, fix it for yourself. Use JB Weld to weld metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics, and I fix Sonny's tennis shoe with this. I think Stromer was using a two-part epoxy to fix his tray, his tile saw, his wet saw. You keep in your kitchen drawer, and it is good for what ails you. Also, they acquired Herculiner, who does the original DIY bed liner for you truck guys out there. It's JB Weld, right, Dawson?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
We got a clip of Marr that was kind of making the rounds. We've been sitting on it for a little while. But Bill Maher waking up to the kids in this clip we're going to play from last week's show. We'll play that for you right now.
A third of people under 35 say they're in favor of abolishing the police. Not defunding, but doing away with a police force altogether, which is less of a policy position and more of a leg tattoo. 36% of millennials think it might be a good idea to try communism. But much of the world did try it. I know millennials think that doesn't count because they weren't alive when it happened. But it did happen. And there are people around who remember it. Pining for communism is like pining for Betamax or MySpace. So when you say, you're old, you don't get it. Get what? Abolish the police and the border patrol and capitalism and cancel Lincoln? No, I get it. The problem isn't that I don't get what you're saying or that I'm old. The problem is that your ideas are stupid.
Yeah.
Kyle Dunnigan made a good point.
Oh, yeah, right. And one of the things he mentioned at the top of this, or somewhere in the 7-minute monologue, is everyone has caved to the 18 to 34 demo. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when anyone would say to me, what the fuck is going on with this country 15 years ago, I'd say Madison Avenue decided there was this coveted demo of kids, and every steakhouse had to start playing Rihanna, and every direction had to turn toward that.
Right.
These are dumb people with little to no purchasing power. Right. What? Why do we? Why are we designing a society around them?
It's so funny because even though the show's been off the air for how many years, think of Don Draper in the boardroom giving two shits, first of all, about women, second of all, about kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the world that he would be very confused by this.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Maybe I do sort of connect this. Here's a bizarre thought, but it might work. I do always think about sort of religion going away and something kind of taking its place, and what's taking its place and what are we thinking about? Why are we thinking this way? So we used to have a lot of respect for the elders. And when you're in a religious society, the elder is just one step closer to the happy hunting ground. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to die, but then you're going to heaven.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a bunch of atheists, if you're old, you're fucked.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck you, Grandpa. Soylent Green.
Your worth is almost up.
You're gone. And then who becomes the anointed in the religion? Well, that's the people with the most time on the clock. Right. And those are 19-year-olds. Right. So we then shift back. So it's like, I would imagine if you're deeply religious and you thought you're heading off to some sort of glorious afterlife, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to die and you guys can fight it out here. Whatever the next war is, global warming or whatever the next COVID-19 that blows down the pike. But if you're going just into the ground and there's nothing, there's no eternal afterlife, then in a way, those young people become the super sought after folks in our society.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So that reminds me of a movie that I've never discussed. I probably never will again.
Can I guess it?
Yeah.
In Time.
In Time.
I knew it.
You're familiar with In Time?
I like it. Okay,
I was about to yell it out.
Fantastic concept.
Sheena, that was strong.
Thank you.
Right. Fantastic concept. Middling execution. It wasn't a great movie, but great concept. The idea is in the near future, just a Justin Timberlake,
Olivia
Wilde. Seyfried?
Oh, yeah.
She plays his mom. Yeah. But the idea is that time is the ultimate currency, and you can transfer time electronically, and that determines your worth. Like, if you're not worth $100 million, you're worth
100 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And the rich are all,
Amanda Seyfried. I'm pretty sure it's Amanda Seyfried, right?
Doesn't look like her. I can't tell.
Whoever it is, she's like 800 years old or whatever, but she looks like Amanda Seyfried.
I'd still fuck her.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's wealthy and she has all this time. That's the new currency.
Yeah. So hey, so you die, if you're religious, it's eternal.
Right.
And you just, go hang out at the hem of whoever for
God's
the rest.
Golden shore.
For eternity. But if you're just going to die and go on the ground with us atheists, then time does mean something. Yes, Brian.
Let me shed on a point real quick. Mar threw out the idea that communism is like Betamax. But Betamax was the superior format.
True.
Just worse marketing.
These fucking lazy ass shitty writers are like, let's just do something that no one does anymore. It's the better format. You're really shitting on your own point.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like DC and AC and Tesla and electricity.
And
Edison and Tesla. They say the one was better, but the other has the marketing
that's
how it goes.
Stole some of his ideas.
All right. Let's see. Vinny Tortorich is going to join us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Vinny right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
You will get Ace Man's favorites. You will get awesome booze for $25 shipped to you. You better believe it. You can get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. There's some real cool crap. You know that you want that.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's monthly nut has arrived. April will feature Righteous Felon Beef Jerky with flavors like Chipotle Guevara and Habanero Escobar. Expand laces, because who doesn't want to turn every shoe into a slip-on? At least sometimes. You'll also get a copy of Daddy Stop Talking and a bottle of your choice. Prep your mail's box, because Adam's monthly nut is on its way. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, guy. Adam, it's Tommy from New Hampshire. I have two fictional football player names for you. One, Tyrone Laces. Two, Deshaun Mustard. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Funny. Yeah, we should collect mine and figure those out one of these days, Max.
I'll bring in the list.
whole bunch of them. Vinny Tortorich is checking in. Fat, a documentary, too. It's available now on Amazon Prime and iTunes as well. How goes it, Vinny?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing in California?
Hot.
Yeah, it sucks. We talked to one of your prime pupils, Howie Mandel, yesterday, which I forgot. I remember exactly where I was. I was at Howie's warehouse in Van Nuys, California.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to Howie, and he was like, "You got to have this guy Vinny Tortorich on." This is 7 years ago or something. It's like, "This guy's the real deal." And I was like, "Okay, good." And Howie was really singing your praises.
Yeah, you know, Howie is one of those special guys. And I don't think people realize how good of a dude he is just all the way around. He, like, whenever you have anything, you know, I think people think of comedians as just being funny people. But if you ever have a situation or a problem or anything and you need someone to talk it out with, Howie is the guy. You know, the guy's, he's very level, and he will give you really good sage advice. And I can't tell you the number of times he was able to do that for me. You know, he's just that guy. And I don't think people really know that about him.
I'm looking at some of my stupid football names. Well, you know, it's funny, maybe. You know, he's always talking about how insane he is, but in many regards, he's the sanest of us all.
The eye of the tornado.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Or maybe it's just because we all know so many fucked up people that think they're fine.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the knowledge of knowing you're not fine that keeps you working on
exactly
it all
right.
the time.
Yep.
Here's some of my football names, Vinny. Maybe some guys you would have played with at LSU or wait,
Tulane,
where'd you go?
Yeah.
Tulane. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got the speedy flanker, legs akimbo. There's the big Jewish run stopper you put in the middle on the short on the goal line.
Oh, that's right.
Feral cats.
He's a hole plugger.
Yeah, you put him in. He stop. They'll use him on offense every once in a while.
Yeah,
a goal line situation.
Oh yeah.
There's a librarian Booker. I don't even remember this one. Oscar Buzz.
Timely.
DeVigorous Lover.
An edge rusher.
There's a foreign born kicker, Nadir Zenith.
Stupid.
There's one for you, Vinny. De gluten free. This one's a soft swirl flavor. Tangy mango.
It's a cheerleader.
This guy would have gone a lot higher in the draft, but he's gotten some scrapes with law enforcement. Nefarious plan.
If he's had his head on straight, he'd be a doctor.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
With such a head case. Yeah, like Phillips, whatever, for the Rams those years ago. There's the much more sensible guy. Again, he didn't have the speed, not the strength, but he studied the game film. Modular Holmes.
Yeah. He was a gym rat.
That's right. Here's a guy who just went covering the punt team. Fortuitous bounce.
Yeah, that's right. Off and corner every time.
And then there's a guy. Again, he would have been a better player, but he always had gripes with the front office. Minority Banks.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes. All right.
I got to tell you this. My parents, who both taught in public school, every year, the first day of school, they would come home and, you know, just talk about some of the new names they have to learn.
Yeah.
And my dad had let off. I'll never forget this. I must have been 10 or 12. And my dad had, kind of like you, he was just naming off a bunch of names that were not unlike what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is just sitting there with a shit-eating grin on her face. And I'm like, oh, she's got to have a good one chambered. And when my dad was done, she goes, "Okay, you're done?" And he goes, "Yeah, what do you have?" She goes, "Dumao Mao." And then she just turned around and walked out of the room.
Wow.
Dawson mashed that up with a song.
The bird.
Dumao Mao. Yeah.
What was the name again, Vinny?
Dumao Mao.
Thank you.
There you go, Dawson.
Okay.
The Otis Day and the Nights, I'm thinking about. That's good. And when you're in Louisiana, it's much better than being in Phoenix, you know what I mean, in terms of the names. And August, every year, we have our, it's a tradition. Every year, he reads me the new recruits coming into LSU.
Sure.
It is a hit parade. It gets better every single year. But Mike has all the recruits that are coming into LSU, and he reads them off to me every single year. Stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Vinny, what's new? What's trending? What's going on? You wanted to talk about the ultra marathoning and that subject. We were talking about me interviewing an ultra marathoner who just got up, had a cup of coffee, and ran a marathon every morning. And I thought, wow, that sounds crazy. But as he explained it, it worked. And it's hard to argue with a guy who runs a marathon on a cup of coffee every morning when he's training. Thoughts?
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because that same guy, early on, if you read his book, Ultra Marathon Man, which is a great book and everyone should read it, it kind of brought ultra marathoning out of its, you know, it allowed normal people to learn what it was.
Yeah. Dean Karnazes, by the way.
Dean Karnazes. Yeah. And Dean has been on my show. He's a great guy. And Dean even says in a book, he was like, man, you have to fuel up on a lot of sugar. And he would even talk in that book about running from one pizza place to the next and just having slices of pizza that he was running down the road, jamming down his throat. And at some point, when guys like me and a bunch of guys that were doing it on high fat, you know, everyone kept saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't. But we were doing it. Then these other guys started figuring out, well, we need to try this, because the main reason they wanted to try it, and Gina's soon-to-be husband also figured this out, you don't have the amount of inflammation when you're not taking in sugar and grains. You know, we always thought, oh, the reason you're all inflamed the day after a marathon is because of all the running. You know, we just weren't meant to run 26 miles in one day. But guess what? We were meant to do that. The reason we became who we are as humans is because we were persistent hunters. We figured that out through studies and everything else. So the only reason we were getting inflamed, and including guys like me who would do the 500, 600, 700 mile nonstop bicycle races, is not from the exercise, but the crap we were eating out there, you know, the goos and all the, you know, everything that's full of sugar and grains and everything else. Well, as soon as we stopped that, we figured out, number one, you don't get inflamed. Number two, you can start running on your own body fat. And you take someone as lean as Dean Karnazes, and I don't know if you saw the guy, but the guy doesn't have an ounce of fat anywhere on him. But a guy even like Dean can run across country. He can run from California all the way to New York, of course, sleeping every night, and never really have to take in many calories. He can do all of that on his own body fat, even being as lean as he is.
So we have no excuse. I have no excuse.
No.
The rest of us, I think we won't, starve overnight.
Yeah, so then how does this work with the, you get up, you put something in your system, and then you go to the gym? Obviously, he's doing 26 miles without putting anything in his system. So, and we have more fat stored than he does. So would it behoove us to get up and go to the gym versus get up and put something in the tank and go to gym if we're trying to burn the fat that's already on us?
If you are fat adapted, and I've been in the studio when you've mentioned this, you said, hey, I used to feel like I needed to wake up and eat two of, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Now I just put a little fat in my coffee and I'm ready to rock and roll, right? It's because you've become somewhat fat adapted, even though you tend to cheat a bit here and there and have some beers and whatever else you might have. People who are steadfast to it, Serena will get up on any given Saturday morning and go knock out 20 miles in the mountains on nothing more than a cup of coffee with heavy cream in it. And there was a time, you know, the naysayers would say, oh, no, you need to carb up. You need to have a big bowl of Special K. You need to bring some carbs with you. But once you teach your body to run on ketone bodies, then you don't need the sugar at all. It turns out we only need two macronutrients. You need protein for building. and you need fat for fuel. And the only reason we ever use any blood glycogen is to get out of quick situations, right? To move really fast for a short period. Throughout history, that's the only reason we needed it. And we're leveled off all of the time. Even if you don't take in any sugar whatsoever, your body will actually, through a system called gluconeogenesis, will actually turn protein into sugar to give you enough blood sugar to last throughout the day every day. So we only really need two macronutrients. And once your body learns to run on ketones as fuel, you'll be like Dr. Drew. You'll be craving bacon, you know, as brain food. You can go forever. Hell, I've gone on 100-mile bike rides with nothing in me, other than a cup of coffee and heavy cream. There was a guy that proved, he was on my podcast a couple of months ago. He was really trying to test the theory that once he became fat adapted, he wanted to see if he could go 100 miles on nothing but salt and water. And he did. No problem. 100 miles. Think about that. Nonstop.
I'm glad you brought up ketones because I know you like the blood one better, but I have the urine one. I'm peeing purple when you pee on stick. And I'm so, because I've been 100%, not even, you know, like, oh, let me just have one of those fries. Nothing since April 1st. Nothing. And I'm down almost 8 pounds. I'm a slow loser when it comes to that. So.
Are you sure you're not pregnant? Let me see the stick.
Yeah, it was a purple plus sign. And Vinny, I remember you saying, I don't remember what mountain it was, but everyone was having at base camp like rolls with butter and jelly, and you just ate the butter, and people were completely disgusted by that, but it worked.
Yeah, there was a young girl from Norway sitting across, really beautiful girl. She goes, "You make me disgusted." You know, she was trying to speak. And I said, "Yeah, dude, I tell a lot of women, but why in particular are you disgusted with me right now?" And she goes, "You're just eating butter." And I looked at her and said, "You're eating butter too. You're just putting it on bread." Gina, let me give you a little advice.
Always.
You don't have to call me crazy in about a week.
I don't do that.
Right now, your body is trying to learn how to use ketones.
Right.
And because of that, it's not using them efficiently yet. So you have deep purple on the stick.
Yeah.
That's right. You got smoke on the water on the stick. So what's going to happen is over time, you're going to notice that the deep purple will be a lighter purple and then barely purple at all. And you're going to call me and say, "I don't know why it's not working.
It's not working." Yeah.
But it's still working.
Thank you.
The difference is that your body will start making and using ketones at the rate that you are using them. And that's when you're going to be, quote unquote, really fat adapted. And that's going to be where you can go out on that cup of coffee and go all day long and go, "Wait a minute, this is insane. I never thought I could do this."
Well, so you'll be doing it. How much of it is physiological versus psychological? And I'll clarify that, which is I have found when you get up in the morning, you have this window, and it's the window where when you wake up in the morning, it's a little traumatizing. Mm-hmm. I would always say to Drew or whoever, you know, how come when I go to bed at 2 and get up at 6 a.m., I'm craving a McRib or something at 6:45 starchy, in the morning, and yet I would normally just sleep until 10 and wake up and not eat at all. Sure. So then somebody figured out, oh, when you're traumatized, you're essentially traumatized. Yep. So there's this little window when you wake up in the morning where you go, "Fuck, man, I want some hash browns or something." Like you have that feeling like I want something, even good or bad. You just go, "I want to put something in." If you wait out that window, you have a cup of coffee with some cream in or something. You just kind of get through that window and you make it about an hour into being awake.
Yep.
You'll skate through to 4 in the afternoon and not want to eat. You just have to make it through that front window.
Well, let me say this, Vinny, and you can speak to this, because I met Vinny, I would wake up and have that craving for a bowl of granola. You know, that was my breakfast. Like, oh, I got to get my granola. And now I still have that psychological feeling, but it's for coffee with heavy cream. Like I just want to get that coffee and heavy cream. And then my dent, everything's all kind of smoothed out. So there may be some psychological aspect to it.
I think I am personally less hungry at 4 in the afternoon than I am a half hour after I wake up if I don't give in, if I just kind of just kind of push through. But then you talk to all these pussies all the time and they explain, like, I get a headache at 10 if I can't, you know, or I can't concentrate when I'm at work. Like, I'm
sugar,
like,
withdrawal, right?
Yeah.
We'll try it for a week.
Why do you get a headache?
Yeah.
I think you can make it. I think there's a lot of people connected everything to eating, and they start talking about their blood sugar being low, and they got a headache, and they want to lay down.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my whole family's hypoglycemic, and so before Vinny, and you know, with all the Weight Watchers and the snack wells and all that stuff, I was just constantly eating all day. And by, you say 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I was ravenous. That would be my most hungry of the day, more than dinner, more than breakfast, anything. I haven't even noticed in the last month, and. With, you know, we all know this. I mean, how long has anyone been telling us? I eat less. I eat, like, I'll have, like, some smoked salmon and half an avocado as opposed to, a little cereal and maybe a little bit of this and a little bit. And that shit adds up. So Vinny knows what he's talking about.
Okay, so there's a lot to unravel here. It is both psychological and metabolic. So what's happening is, let's say you have a night of drinking, right? So that metabolizes, you fall asleep, it metabolizes. And just like with any other sugar high, when it goes away, you will get, you know, because of the ghrelin and leptin, you know, the hormones being reversed, you're going to get instantly hungry, like a big time hunger craze. And so then that's the metabolic part. Psychologically, Adam, if you woke up one morning after one of those and had a McDonald's McRib, that your brain goes right to that. Oh, wait, that your brain goes right back to that's what makes me feel better. Brian, for you, it was whatever that cereal was
granola,
that you mentioned.
Yeah,
granola.
Granola, right? It's like, I need that granola because you go right to that will fix me, right? And as a matter of fact, if you drank a glass of water, that will fix you too. That will make you not feel hungry. You know, if you wake up with that hunger pain, that will make you feel better. It won't make the hangover go away. That's a different thing. Now, Adam, you mentioned 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, you know, my blood sugar and this and that and the whole thing. That's more psychological because it's physiological and psychological because what's happening there is a couple of things. One is the headache is coming on because you haven't eaten for a while and maybe your blood sugar dropped a little bit, but more so because if you weren't monitoring how much water and or salt you were getting throughout the day, you could be dehydrated, and that's usually.
Well,
where
it's
that
never me. I never get a headache. I call people who get headaches pussies.
One could be dehydrated.
Yeah.
And Gina, there's one more here. Gina mentioned that all of her family is hypoglycemic. That's because you're Jewish, honey.
Thank
it
you.
Has nothing to do with anything else. Because look, you made yours go away.
Chosen,
people
indeed.
you can, you know, people can convince themselves of anything. Oh, everyone in my family is this way, or everyone is, and this is how I am. You know what? When people nut up and do the right thing, you really don't have that problem in life.
That's his next nut butter flavor.
Is granola the biggest lie ever perpetrated on the American public?
Candy.
It's number two behind Gatorade, but yeah, it's up there. And Tang. Yeah, it's right up there.
Yeah, but you see, the difference between Tang and Gatorade is my mom in 1977 was on to Gatorade and on to Tang, but still ladling out the granola. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, granola became much more than a breakfast. It was like a movement.
It's a way of life.
You know what I mean? Like, and it was ironic because the corn pops and the frosted flakes and the mini wheats, that was considered the devil's food. Like, that was poisonous. But you could have the honey, brown sugar, pecan, granola, and you could dump, like we talked about, it always makes Vinny wince, as much apple juice into it
as
you
wanted.
Well, I lived in California.
Right.
You know, we're on the vanguard of retarded. That should be on the sign
that's
as you
on your license
enter.
Plate.
Yeah, so, and God knows how much granola my mom ate over the course of her lifetime and always struggled to lose weight. And I, as I've told you, 2 years ago, I was at her house. She's in her mid-late 80s now, and she's handing me a bag of granola, and she's going, well, this is handmade. Homemade, you know what I mean? Like, there's something about making it at home with sugar.
Homemade too.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Everything can be home. You could make fentanyl in your bathtub. It doesn't mean it's fucking good for you, idiot.
It's homemade.
Yeah,
it's homemade.
This is, you know, they're doing it, and they would even, sometimes, they caught on a little, like, it's not overly sweetened, or, you know, the big thing was, it was sweetened with molasses. So this is
black
good.
Strap molasses.
This is good for you. Yeah. And it's just a bunch of sugar and grain. And the reason you know it's not good for you is because it fucking tastes good.
It tastes delicious.
Anyone's ever gotten into some real granola that has bits of dates in it?
It's amazing. I had it every day for breakfast.
Peanut butter granola and stuff. It's like, oh, this fuck. I don't
miss taste of maple.
I don't miss sugar pops at all. This is awesome. That's where you have to. It's up there with the smoothies. Like, I don't miss a Coke. This mango smoothie, banana, awesome.
There's
like,
no reason to miss
the second
anything.
You say that, there's an issue.
Can I ask something because of what you just said? Vinny knows my curiosity got the best of me, and I'm on all these keto groups on Facebook just to see kind of what everyone's doing. And the thing that I cannot abide by, because I talk about a slippery slope, and I hear Vinny in my head, everybody's always saying, you guys, you know, at Costco, there are these amazing carb-free, zero-guilt ice cream bars. Or has anyone else tried the carb-free bread? And I told Brian this yesterday, and I try to stay away from anything like that. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, if it has keto written on the package, don't eat it, period. There is no keto. And, you know, just like vegan, you can put vegan, as I've always said, on a bowl of sugar. There is no one regulating that. No one is regulating what keto is, right? So you could do whatever you want. Vegan is not regulated. Keto is not regulated. Paleo is not regulated. These are just throw words that were invented by guys like me. As a matter of fact, I was so afraid to use the word ketogenic 10 years ago when I wrote my book that I just didn't put it in the book. And Dean Laurie said, why won't you use that word? I said, because every doctor in the world is going to think I'm talking about ketoacidosis, and they're going to call me a kook. So I started calling it no sugars, no grains, NSNG.
Yeah.
And then people picked up on ketosis, and then that dropped to keto, and then they started printing it on every label you could print it on. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it keto just because it says keto. Sorry, Adam.
No, I was just going to say, if you see any bags of keto veggie chips, you turn it over, the first thing is rice flour.
Rice and corn flour.
It seems to be rice flour and everything.
Even the cauliflower, the store-made cauliflower pizza crust, I have one in my freezer that's going to be there till the end of time because I can't eat it. It's too many carbs.
Let's talk lastly about the sunflower oil and these oils. We get into it all the time. I, for instance, I love artichoke hearts.
Just bought a bunch of jars.
I love the grilled artichoke hearts. I have to search high and low for the ones that are in olive oil versus sunflower oil
because
they're all in sunflower. It's just sunflower oil.
Yes.
I went to the Ralphs and whatever. I walked up and down the aisle. There's nothing there. Like I had to go somewhere else because I was like now fixated on this. But the sunflower oil, it's ubiquitous. Or all these oils, they're everywhere all the time. Here's something to compare and contrast when you're talking about show a picture from Woodstock from 1969. You just see how spindly everyone is. Look at some footage of a lot of the ladies, especially. And this is an interesting question for you because I don't know the answer to this. Take a look at what's going on the border. And they have like all the migrants and they've walked here from Guatemala. A lot of these women have some extra weight on them. They are not the refugees of old. As a matter of fact, if you kind of took, if you took Woodstock 1969 and you showed that versus, you know, one of our, you know, Burning Man or some version of that or some music festival now, you would see that difference. And when you used to see refugees, like they're coming over from whatever, they're emaciated. And now, if you look at the footage and you see some of these, I notice it a little more with the women than with the men, but they're filling out those sweatpants, and these are poor people who have been walking for 2,000 miles. So thoughts, Vinny?
Yeah, look, we don't even have to go all the way back to Woodstock. Let's go back to when the Croats, back, I guess that was what, early, mid-90s, when Croatia, these people were walking across borders. Some of those women were smoke shows. I was looking at that going, oh, look at that.
And,
you know, and that was at the beginning of that, you know, seed oil. And go on, Adam, you were
going
to say?
No, I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. So is this all because the seed oil is in everything they eat, right? I mean, all the snacks, all the chips, like everything in the journey. It's not like they're stopping and poaching eggs along the way. They're probably getting packets and chips and, you know, all, and it's in everything, right?
It is. You know, even when I go to places like third world countries, like places in India where I've been, you know, these poor people are just eating chips. And this stuff is, number one, it's a carbohydrate. It's a cheap carbohydrate, and it's full of seed oils. And, you know, you see men and women walking around looking pregnant. You know, they have this big distended gut, you know, the beer belly, you know, and all of that comes seed oils. You know, we got rid of cigarettes pretty much, right? We went, okay, this is a carcinogen that you're putting in your body. Yet we're allowing these seed oil companies to just produce this stuff over and over and over again. And if you think it's bad now, when you see these refugees walking because they're eating chips full of seed oils, we have, in this country, we have Harvard and all of these schools that are behind this fake meat, this Beyond Burger and this Impossible Meat. This is more crap that we're going to be eating. We have politicians saying meatless Monday and let's get meat out of the school. Gina shows me what her little guy brings home from school every day. I thought it was a joke when she first, I really thought I was being punked. You know, if we think it's bad now, we're going off the cliff with all of this Beyond Meat and all this stuff. And by the way, if you think it's going away, it's not. I'm putting some of this in my next movie. Tyson Meats, the chicken people, they've actually already invested billions with a B in these fake meat, in the fake meat industry. You know, so when we hear people yelling about, oh, you know, factory farming, well, guess what? We're going into a whole different version of factory farming, and everybody's asleep at the wheel and they're letting them do it. And it's not going to turn out good for any of us.
Yeah,
this is going to be the final nail in that coffin.
If you people check the ingredients on almost every sort of mainstream snack item, but even like the artichoke hearts and stuff, you're just going to find the seed oil all of it.
They all say sunflower or safflower.
Right.
Oil.
So check on that, everybody. And then also, I presume it's a lot cheaper than avocado oil or cheaper than olive oil, but is it also preservative or something? Like, why is it so ubiquitous? Why are they all so in love with it?
Well, oils in general are, you know, just great for preserving. So that olive oil and all of it, it's all great. But it's just that they can do it for so cheap. That's all it is. You know, whether it's rapeseed oil or, you know, well, canola is rapeseed, or safflower, as Gina just mentioned, or corn oil is another one. We produce way more corn than we can ever use, right? Some of it goes to feeding the pigs that we eat, which is great. And the rest of it goes to, you know, we trade with other countries, but then we turn a lot of it into oil, you know, Mazola and these kind of things, Crisco. But it's cheap and easy to do. Right. The extraction process is different. It's just not good. Look, McDonald's had a good thing going back when you were a kid, Adam, when we were kids, we're the same age. They had beef tallow in the fryers. The French fries tasted a hell of a lot better than they taste today. And it was all because of one man's commitment. After he had a heart attack, he decided to go after McDonald's. And McDonald's just went, oh, what the hell? We'll use seed oils instead. And it's cheaper anyway.
Wasn't so it because their whole thing? I thought maybe this is just a bubamisis, as your people say, but I thought it was that the vegetarian community felt tricked because their French fries were fried in beef fat and not vegetable fat.
No, it was a guy somewhere in the Midwest. He was a multimillionaire. He had a heart attack and he decided that meat was the reason, just on his own. You know, no studies, no nothing. And he spent the rest of his life just lobbying, and he finally got McDonald's to go, okay, we've had enough. We'll just change. And they changed. And, after they dropped, then Wendy's dropped and all these other food companies dropped and everyone went to seed oils. And that's when that's one of the other problems we have. Seed oils are no good for anyone.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be part of human consumption. Yet we think it's, you know, they will say, hey, it's heart healthy. It's a better oil.
Yeah.
Nothing could be further from the
truth. That was all part, if you guys were around, of the whole switch from butter to margarine.
Right.
That was the whole plan.
Oh, no, I was born in the margarine era.
Yeah, oh, big time.
Let me give Vinny a plug because Brad Williams is here. Fat, a documentary, too, available now on Amazon Prime Video and iTunes. Website, VinnyTortorich.com. You can go there and listen to podcasts and get some phone consultations as well. And NSNGFoods.com is where you go. So much good stuff coming out of Vinny's side. So please go check him out. Thanks, Vinny.
Do mau mau. Thanks for having me, guys.
Always. Do we have Otis Day in the night? Let's see. What was the name of that?
That puts Austin on the spot. That's,
I know.
Fair.
I shout out to him.
This is what I thought of.
Oh.
Oak Ridge Boys.
Well, wasn't there one? Do mau mau mau. Wasn't there one of those songs?
There's Otis Day in the night. Saying, that is why you're on my sugar. I don't know. You got to get the Otis Day in the Night song from Animal House.
Do mau mau.
And that'll fit because that's the way my brain works.
I was thinking of The Bird. Baba ooh, mau mau.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Bird is the word.
Yeah.
I think this will, well, they'll both work. We'll see if we can find them. We'll have Dawson look that up.
Right. I have no way to grab that in real time. Like Brian does.
Oh, Brian does. But,
I got the delay.
Okay. All right. Well, you look for that. I think that'll work. According to my sonic weird ear, I have a weird thing for sonic stuff.
Yeah.
Shoes, tires, and direction. Not directions, just pointing the right direction.
Do mau mau.
First, I'll tell you about the Total Gym. Oh, yeah. Well, hell, out here, I don't even know if you can get into the gyms in California, but why bother? Save money. Work out at home. I'm excited about our new partner, Total Gym. They got their premier model, Total Gym Fit. Gives me and us, we set it up out here, and everyone uses it in the back of the shop. We made our own little workout corridor back there. Do it at home, and you do it for about half the price of the personal fitness bikes, which are so expensive. Over 85 exercises in one machine, 12 levels of resistance. You can work your core, your arms, your shoulders, your biceps, your thighs, your whole body. And it only takes about 20 minutes. And you think about the gym, you got to go back and forth and get out and park and all that kind of stuff. Do it in doing about 10 to 20 minutes a day and just do it at your home. Comes fully assembled. Just take it out of the box. Pop it up, start working out immediately. They've been making home fitness equipment for 45 plus years. A+, Better Business Bureau rating. It is Total Gym, right, Dawson?
Right now, Total Gym is offering a 30-day in-home trial on the Total Gym Fit for just $1. Seriously, $1. So what do you have to lose? And no matter which Total Gym you try, Adam Carolla listeners get an additional 20% off whatever discount they're currently running. Just head to TotalGymDirect.com/Adam to get this special offer. You must go to this URL, TotalGymDirect.com/Adam, to get an additional 20% off.
All right, Brad Williams is going to be here. We'll see if we can run down those songs and mix it up right after this.